Luke's passage is perhaps the most familiar to us. So I'm going to read it and just close your eyes and listen and take yourself back to these familiar words. Maybe we can explore them in a new way tonight. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house, the tribe, and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. And she was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." This is the season of joy. Are you needing some joy tonight? Well, let's pray, and we'll unpack this story a little bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news that has come to us and the great joy that we have received by welcoming it. Jesus, you are the great news, and Jesus, you are the great joy. And so tonight, We want to meet you again here in the scriptures and the songs and this night in this place. Amen. Good news, great joy. There was little evidence of either of those two things as our little family entered into the dusty town of Bethlehem. It was hardly a Hallmark moment. There were no Christmas trees, you might guess. There were no carolers or brass bands playing in the town square. There were no twinkly lights strewn across the streets as they entered the gates of that little town. Instead, there were soldiers. And there was document checking, and there was paperwork to fill out. There were irritated and weary travelers grudgingly obeying a command that they bitterly opposed. Tired, dusty, irritated, yes. Joyful, probably not. We look at Joseph and Mary, and I think about Joseph, don't you? Joseph, who left behind his business for who knows how long, because government work always takes longer than it's supposed to. He's traveling a long distance, and with every intention, most likely, knowing the culture and the Jewish people, that he will stay with family, with his uncles or cousins. That's stressful. Taking time away from work, that's stressful. He's arriving with a visibly pregnant fiance. That's stressful. Then they get there, and the house is overcrowded already with relatives who are there for the exact same reason that Joseph is. And they look at him, and they look at Mary, and their eyes go down to her belly. And they point and say, "The guest rooms are full, but you can stay over there." Over there is probably a lower level of the house, the main room. And as Joseph looks, he can see straw, marking it as the place where they would bring in the livestock at night when the weather got bad. It's a stable, we would call it today. And the frustration that Joseph has been feeling from the time he closed the door on his business begins to just build and threatens to boil over until he feels a hand on his arm, and he looks down, and Mary says, "It's all right. It's all right. Be thankful." She goes, "Besides, I don't want to be crowded up with your family anyway." I think about Joseph, anxious, disappointed, and trying to make the best of a really bad situation. Yeah. Joyful? Probably not. And then we have the shepherds, some of my favorite people. On the hills outside the city, we have shepherds. We don't even know their names. We know Joseph and Mary, Jesus, of course. We even know the angel's name, Gabriel. But the shepherds remain anonymous to us. Maybe it's because shepherding isn't that exciting. Shepherding is boring. It's also hard. Every day it's the same routine. Finding water, shade, good grazing, that's the boring part. But keeping them alive, if you've ever had sheep, you know that they are just determined to hurt themselves somehow. Our shepherd hasn't had a decent night's sleep for he doesn't know how long. Plus, they're not even his sheep. He's just hired to watch them. And so if one gets mauled by a dog or breaks his leg in some random little hole in the ground, well, it might come out of his wages. And if it happens enough, well, he's out. And another person will just jump in and take his place. There's plenty of shepherds around. Anonymous shepherd on an anonymous hill in a nothing little town. Who cares about him? Feeling insignificant, feeling unappreciated, tired of sheep, tired of life, yeah. Joyful, I don't think so. Back at the stable, it's a boy. Of course, Mary and Joseph knew it would be. What's his name? Well, his name is Yeshua. They say, a good name. God of my salvation. We need salvation. They swaddled him, and Mary held him for a bit, but then asked Joseph to lay him over there in the feed trough, the manger. And then she closed her eyes and gets a little rest. And Joseph lets out a deep sigh, and his shoulders relax, and he lets his eyes close too. Out in the fields, most of the sheep are sleeping, and so our shepherd feels like this is the perfect opportunity to close his eyes too, but almost immediately opens them again. And his heart seems to stop because there's someone in front of him. Have you ever woken to someone right in front of you? Well, it's a person? No, it's not a person. I believe it's an angel. Don't be afraid. And he wasn't. Around him, the others were waking as well. And the angel says this, according to Luke. Says, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a blinding and terrifying light, and then 1,000 of these angels appeared. For a moment, the shepherd thinks, God is destroying the world, and he started with us. And then they begin to sing. Have you ever heard a battalion of troops sing? It is unlike anything you've ever heard. And these are angelic soldiers. This is the army of the Lord. And they begin to sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And then, as suddenly as they came, they were gone. And the sky is dark again. And the shepherds take off running. And just like the angel said, they found him there in a feed trough with his mother resting and his father very gingerly letting them pass the baby around. Our shepherd swears that when he held the baby, he smiled at him. A smile that seemed to confirm the words that the angels sang. A Savior born to him. A baby changes everything. We've got a little baby in the room tonight that changed everything, if you know that story. But the baby we're talking about tonight in that stable in Bethlehem changed everything, even in the room. The relatives who just a few hours ago treated him with a cold shoulder are now falling over themselves to bring warm blankets and food just because of a baby. And Joseph looks at Mary and that baby in her arms, and then he notices something happening inside of him. The stable, the dirty hay, the taxes, the soldiers, the long journey, his business, his family, and all those other frustrations just seem to, I don't know, feel incredibly unimportant. And something he hasn't felt for over 9 months begins to flower inside of his heart. It's joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. That proclamation, those tidings of comfort and joy, announcing the kingdom of God with us, in us, and through us, changes everything for us. I read Catholic priest this past week, and he said this: joy is the witness of the Spirit of Jesus in us. Joy is the witness of the Spirit of Jesus in us. I love that. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk knew something of this joy. Habakkuk wrote in chapter 3, verse 18, he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. That Hebrew word for joy suggests dancing and leaping around. And if I was in better condition, I would exhibit that for you right now so you would see it. Dancing and leaping around. What brings that kind of joy? Is it our stuff? You're going to get stuff tomorrow morning probably, and you'll like it. I like stuff. Is it our jobs? I'm thankful that I have a job that I enjoy. How about our friends and our family? We certainly take joy in our friends and family. But what about when all of that is gone? Habakkuk was in that situation where all of that was slipping away. He says this in verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Habakkuk understood that he could be stripped of everything, endure everything, and yet his joy would still be there. He understood that forever joy comes from the Lord, the God of our salvation, Yeshua. Jesus is the reason this season is joyful. Good news and great joy. Do you need some joy tonight? If so, can I encourage you to do three things? The first is very simple: give thanks. 1 Thessalonians reminds us that this is God's will for us, that we give thanks, to be thankful in all circumstances. So wherever you find yourself in life, give thanks. even if it's on the floor of a stable or sleeping on a blow-up mattress in the family room, be thankful. Rob and Becky Muncy are here tonight. They planned on being tonight with their daughter, who they had not seen for 4 years. Circumstances changed, and that's not going to happen. Their stable is right here, disappointed. My friend Roger is in a rehab hospital in Bloomington. He would love to be here. He's not. Those are their stables tonight. You probably have a stable as well. Something that's not ideal, but stables are very often where we find Jesus. This incredible thing about joy is that we find it when we're least expecting it, and rarely where we actually go looking for it. It might be discovered right there in your stable. So be thankful for your stable. The second thing is to draw near. James says, if we come near to God, then he will come near to us. That's an incredible, beautiful promise. There's a certain security in just staying back, remaining anonymous. If I let you get close, then you could hurt me or I could hurt you. And so there's some security in that. There is risk in being fully known. But there's also joy. And joy in knowing someone and knowing someone knows us. Tonight you may feel like an anonymous shepherd on a random hill outside an obscure village in the middle of a small and unimportant country. A nobody. But God knows you. And he is with you. That's the promise of God with us. Emmanuel. Like the shepherds, when we run to find the Savior, the promise is that we will find him. And the beautiful thing is that when we're with Jesus, when we're with him, Psalm 16:11 says that in his presence there is fullness of what? Joy. And the final thing is this, treasure these things. Luke's account of the birth of Jesus ends with this very simple line. Luke 2:19 says this, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's an interesting phrase. Treasuring something implies guarding something precious from harm. And I wonder what Mary treasured. I'm sure she treasured that momentous meeting with the angel Gabriel when she learned that she was chosen by God. I'm sure she treasured that moment when she realized that Joseph loved her enough to not listen to the rumors. Choose her over the rumors. I'm sure she treasured the shepherds showing up with their story. And of course, she treasured that baby in her arms. But I wondered if she treasured the difficult parts too. I wonder if she treasured the dirty stable, the dusty road, the gossip, the disbelieving and difficult relatives. I wonder if she treasured Joseph's stress response when he got frustrated. Did she treasure those? You know, the difficult parts can distract us from the joyful bits. It's easy to let the cares and the anxieties of this world rob you of the joy of the King and his kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. But the wise learn that the difficult parts of our journey are the same paths that lead us to joy. And when we learn that, like Habakkuk, we can look around and say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. So give thanks, draw near, and treasure all these things. I suspect that most of us in this room have welcomed the good news of Jesus, and we have received great joy as a response to that invitation. Unto us is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The same Savior, Christ Lord, who said, I have told you this so that your joy, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. With Jesus, there is joy. Have you embraced him as your Savior? Have you handed over your mistakes and your failures, your anxieties and fears, your frustrations, your stresses, and simply said, here am I, Lord, be the Savior unto me? That baby changed everything. By taking your shame and blame and dying for you in your place, he opened the way for you to experience not just the temporary joy of this season, and that's a beautiful joy, but joy for eternity. Tonight, if you've not, say yes to Jesus. He is both our good news and our great joy. I'm going to invite Heather and Nate up to light our last candle of Advent. We're going to do a responsive reading. Some of you are familiar with that. I'll start because we're just going to make it easy tonight. And then you can respond as well. I think we have those lined up and ready to go. Good. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. A Savior has been born to us. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Let's stand together.
Thank you for watching this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can view any message from the past 6 years at socc.org/messages? You can also view complete worship services from the past month at socc.tv.